It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world. You're in the sweet spot, baby. You're in the sweet spot, girl. You're in the sweet spot, darling. It's a magical kingdom in a mixed up world.
Welcome to the Sweep Spot Podcast. My name is your host, and Ken's my co-host. Ken, how's it going?
Oh, Lynn, it is going. It is going. I am so happy to be here for another episode of the Sweep Spot Podcast.
Yep, this is episode 386.
386? Oh, my goodness. That's impressive, Lynn. That's hard to believe. Congratulations.
Oh, congratulations to you, too. Wow. Yeah, 386. Also, we are, so my name is Lynn and Ken's my co-host, and we're both former Disneyland custodial cast members, and we host the number one Disneyland podcast hosted by two former custodians.
Number one.
We're also, cracks me up sometimes.
This is ponderous, man. Ponderous.
It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, I love it, but it's funny. Number one. Okay. We're also the authors of Cleaning the Kingdom. We have two books out, two separate books. And they're both called Cleaning the Kingdom. And you can get those books on Amazon, both books. You can get them wherever electronic books are. You can get both books on audio version. And you can get the second book signed by both of us on our website at sweepspot.com. First book we'll have signed maybe in August. Also, you can join our Patreon if you'd like to help support the show and get some cool perks. You can get one bonus episode per month that we record specifically for the Patreons. And also, you get to join us once a month for our current events live. You get to interact with the others in the chat room, and then we'll incorporate your comments sometimes when appropriate into the conversation. It's a lot of fun, and we do that once a month. So you can join the Patreon at patreon.com and search the Sweep Spot, or you can go to the sweepspot.com and search or look for the Patreon link there. Also, we will be at the D23 Ultimate Fan Event, August 9th, 10th, 11th, and we are not going to be at the booth, at a booth, all day like we were in the past years, but we will be there for specific hours that will be announced later at the Laughing Place booth. So it'll be a lot of fun, and we will kind of be around each day also. Not at the booth, but just kind of there. For selected hours also. So, Ken?
Yes?
Who's our guest tonight?
Well, we're returning somebody who... we're returning him to the shelf. No. We're having a return guest. It's Trevor Kelly, who was a Jungle Cruise skipper. He's part of a panel on an earlier episode, I believe. But we're having him back, just him, so we could pick his brain about what it was like working at the Disneyland Resort.
That's right. I'm excited. I've heard Trevor on his podcast, and it's a lot of fun. So I'm really happy to be able to chat with him again on here. So let's get right into that. Looking to go to Disneyland Resort in California, Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Aulani in Hawaii, or on a Disney cruise, or Adventures by Disney Vacation, I am here to help you book the best vacation possible, and my expertise and services won't cost you anything extra. Disney pays me, not you. As a perk by booking a package with me, I can also book your dining reservations, park reservations, tours, shuttles, and more. Let me do the hard work while you get excited about your upcoming Disney vacation. I can also book Universal Studios trips as well. Contact me at L Barron, that's L-B-A-R-R-O-N, ARRON at concierge.com. That's concierz.com. Or thesweepspot@gmail.com.
This is the Global Broadcasting Service, serving remote outposts since 1928.
Gonna take a sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease.
So, Trevor, did you grow up going to Disneyland? Like, did you grow up in the California area, Southern California area?
Yeah. I grew up in Carlsbad, which is it was a sleepy little surf town about an hour south of Disneyland, and now it's too expensive for me to even drive through. It is a very expensive area now.
Right.
But my dad worked for the Angels growing up. He was a baseball scout for them. And there was a period of time where Disney bought the Angels. And that was a whole thing. But, you know, they had like the Disney girls and they had characters in the park and the stadium and stuff for a brief period of time before they realized maybe not the best idea. but because Disney owned them and because my dad had worked for the Angels for so long, he retroactively got a silver pass, which you get if you work for the company for so long. And it's basically like a really nice, I don't know if it's unlimited, but it's got plenty of opportunities to go to the park. So I was very fortunate to kind of pop in there growing up a lot.
And that went into your teen years, like before, obviously before you were old enough to work there.
Yeah. We would go a couple times a year. So it just kind of, it was a very big part of my life growing up. And so because of that, 100%, one of the goals was right out of high school to work at Disneyland.
So did you, when you went to apply, did you know you wanted to work on Jungle Cruise?
Yeah, that was the only way I was going to work at the parks was Jungle Cruise. No offense to any of the other attractions in the park, but that one was just right up my alley. I'd known since, you know, early teen years after going on the Jungle Cruise that these are my people. This is where I need to be. And I showed up at the interview. It's embarrassing when I think about it because I showed up and it was like, one of those movies where somebody's just like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed going in and then coming out, they're all beat up and ragged. Like there was a very quick character change that occurred after I got Jungle. But when I'm walking into that interview, I had a white suit on and like a Star Wars tie, and I was like 35 pounds. It was, I don't know why they looked at that and went, yeah, Jungle Cruise, but I'm happy they did.
Yeah. That's great. So what year was that?
I think that was 1956.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, Walt personally interviewed me. No, it feels like that, but it was 2001. Okay. I technically hadn't even graduated high school yet, and they hired me as what they called a liberated minor. But yeah, 2001, and I was only at Jungle Cruise and the parks before it was evident that it was probably time for me to leave. I was only there for about a year.
Okay.
So it was a very concentrated experience.
But 2001, that's Ken and I were still working there in Custodio at that time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I used to do this thing, so I apologize to you both specifically. I used to do this gag where, because skippers would all enter, like we'd leave at the same time on our shift and walk out the park or walk into the park together. And everybody had their own gags that they would like to do at the park in front of people. And mine was I would purposely, but make it look like an accident, run into every garbage can down Main Street, USA. And the trick was to make it look convincingly like I was just so clumsy and so turned around that it was an accident every time. And I was successful most of the time, but I'm sorry for banging up your garbage cans.
That was you.
That was me.
Hold on a second. Custodial Central, we found out who it was.
Statue of limitations.
Send out the hit squad. Send out the hit squad. All right, we've got him. Okay, we'll keep him occupied. All right, I'm back now. You didn't hear any of that, did you?
No. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I would imagine custodial hit squads are the cleanest hit squads. They know what they're doing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Trash compactor. It's all over.
What? How long did you cats work at the park in custodial?
I worked about 5 minutes and the rest of the time I was playing, but they were paying me.
Fantastic.
No. But seriously, I worked very hard. I started in summer of 1990, June, and then I left 15 years and 2 days later.
Wow.
But when I first started, it was casual temporary, so it's not counted. So it's not like I hit my 15 year mark.
Yeah, I was gonna say, do they give you like a golden broom or something when you hit that? Or
I think they give you the golden horse droppings.
Oh, beautiful. Oh my goodness. So you guys, you would be responsible for the horses, or is that a whole different department?
Yeah, no, we would, you know, if we were covering Main Street, we would do the horses, you know, the droppings, the urine, anytime they bit a kid's hand off, we had to, you know, what they would do is they'd bring the horses out, and then when they were empty, they would switch them out. So they could bring another horse that was full of manure and urine out, you know, couldn't have them go backstage. They had to go on stage. No.
That's right.
But yeah, it was years ago. There was a dedicated guy just for that, but that faded into history.
Yeah. After they lost their mind and ran off into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
He got tired of posing for pictures. He was photographed so often that he just, Anyway, I think this is supposed to be about you.
Yeah, sorry. I'm so intrigued by this. I'm always intrigued talking to other people that worked at the park in completely different areas because each one seems to have its own just world about it. And it's always very interesting.
Yeah, that's why we have other departments on, because we've had plenty of custodians on too, but I like hearing other perspectives for sure. Yeah. So you started in 2001 and you were Jungle Cruise. Did you, before we move into just Jungle Cruise, were you cross trained? Like, where did you train at Big Thunder or anything like that?
Yeah. I was just Jungle and Tiki for a long time.
Oh.
And which was great. Tiki Room is a blast. There's nothing to do except for hit the bird and then go sit in the back for, you know, 15, 20 minutes or whatever it was. And then after that, the ride went down for rehab for a period of time. And so I had to get cross-trained on a Big Thunder Mountain, which because I was, you know, 18 years old and a brat, and I just wanted to work Jungle Cruise, I would throw a little like tantrum every time I got pulled to Big Thunder and take my time getting the costume, get there. I was not, my brain is not good with that kind of system too, like that computer system that they had and everything. And it's a very technical ride.
Stressful.
And so it is, it's just way too much. I was not, that was not why I was there. And because of that, I had a tendency to break the ride down every time I was operating it. So after a while, I think they just stopped having me come over there.
Yeah, he did such a bad job. I don't want him back.
That's right. Fail out of it.
Yep. So what was the training like? I mean, was it, so let me ask you this, because you wanted to do Jungle Cruise. Mm-hmm. Was it everything you expected?
Yeah, absolutely was. It's it's still to this day is one of those like linchpin moments, like precipices of like if I hadn't done Jungle Cruise, my life would be extremely different. Everybody I've met and all the friendships that formed and the talents that were fostered there still directly apply to what I'm doing today. So it was just fantastic.
I think you're giving Disney another movie idea. They're going to do the Jungle Cruise Skipper, and it's going to be like Mr. Destiny or one of those movies where you see, you know, it's a wonder, it's a skipper life or whatever, you know, where you see the alternate reality if they weren't a Jungle Cruise Skipper.
Oh, that'd be terrifying. I don't know how interesting you can make a movie about a guy that flips burgers at Burger King, but we can give it a go.
Very good.
I still have not seen the Jungle Cruise, the actual Jungle Cruise movie with The Rock. My buddy Dave, Dr. Skipper, hates it with a fiery passion. And so I've just avoided it.
Oh,
really?
I thought it was fine. I thought it was fine. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I like all the references to Jungle Cruise, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems weird that they're making all these movies based off attractions. Maybe it doesn't need it.
No, some of them feel forced. I think Pirates was perfect for the timing.
Oh yeah,
happened, but
it's a brand recognition thing. You know, it's everybody knows the Jungle Cruise, and you know they should have just put Weird Al Yankovic in it, and it could have been, you know, Skipper Dan and
oh yeah, there you go. That.
But yeah, you know, yeah.
No, I think like part of the charm of these attractions and why they've stuck around for 50, 60 years now is that you are building your own kind of movie, your adventure in them. I don't need like The Rock to kind of give me a narrative of how to enjoy the Jungle Cruise.
That's true. Yeah. Well, at least they didn't put an animatronic of The Rock in the attraction.
Oh my goodness. That's always the worry.
Give them time.
That's right. We shouldn't say that. Well, actually I think that would be too expensive. That he's a big man, and that'd be a lot of animatronic.
If you smell what the Bengal barbecue is cooking,
that's right. Oh, that was always one of my favorite doc jokes, and it's a terrible one, but it was one of my favorites. You'd pull into the dock, and dock jokes, for those of you that don't know, are skippers back then. I don't know if they do it now. Would have like a different rotating thing, and you'd come up with different ones of jokes that you would save specifically for when you're pulling into the dock to either involve the other skippers or just kind of entertain each other when you get there. And so one of the best ones about the Bengal barbecue was you'd pull up to the dock and you'd look really sad, and then the skipper on the dock at unload would go like, "Hey, Trevor, what's up, buddy? You look a little sad." He's like, "Yeah, well, you know, my cat died the other day," and he'd be like, "Oh, that's terrible." I'm like, yeah, I know. Speaking of dead cat, everybody, a Bengal barbecue's right across the way.
That's great. I always love when I go on the Jungle Cruise and I hear, because I know that you're supposed to stick to somewhat of a script, but I always like when there's some unique ones there.
I'm just repeating what Dave has researched and told me, because he's the Jungle Cruise historian. Mm-hmm. He has found through interviewing all the skippers that the early 2000s was kind of the last generation that went insanely off script and just did insane stuff. Like, it was a tradition through the 70s and, you know, all the way up to then. And I think they've kind of reined in the attraction successfully right now, at least on the West Coast. East Dock has that old school vibe from what I've heard.
I think it's just the whole park wide. It seemed like in Custodio they kind of reined in on us too for certain things, and I don't know, I think it's just management overall during that time period. Yeah,
that's right. What would you cats do management wasn't thrilled with?
It just seemed like things were more relaxed, you know.
Oh yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, we'd have parties and in the backstage, like,
well, we had guys marks. That would learn magic tricks.
Oh,
because we had those side pouches, those side packs, we called them, and they, you could just carry around things in there. And so there was a time I was working with these guys who were learning sleight of hand specifically to entertain kids, you know, while they were waiting for Fantasmic or whatever. Yeah. You know, things like that.
Like what's that behind your ear? Oh, it's horse poop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, no, it's a bag of Sandy Sorbits, you know. yeah, stuff like that. Broom hockey, you know.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, yeah. Oh, go for it.
Well, I was going to say, so I assume you probably work nights mostly. And I know, isn't that kind of where things are a little looser?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I was majority nights. Day is such a different vibe in general, especially me and my wife were just at the park the other day, and it reminded me because we're almost always in the park at night now with the Magic Key because it's after work and everything. But we ended up getting into the park a little earlier than usual, like maybe like 2:30 or like maybe 3 o'clock. And I'd forgotten from like 3 to 5, there's that period of the day where everybody is just overheated, burnt out, and just at the edge of their breaking points. And it's just a thrill to watch without being
that's
a cast
just the
member.
Cast members.
That's right. It was a lot to watch. One of the fun games in the park to do at that time period, if you're visiting, is watch and see who might break up by the end of the evening.
Oh yeah.
There are always some iffy couples at that time of day, but
Mickey
yeah, I was,
Minnie,
that's
know.
Right. But yeah, I was always night at Jungle, and it was fantastic. The leads were more relaxed. At that point in the evening, no one's coming on the ride because you're right next to Indiana Jones, and there's fireworks and Fantasmic to be watched. So it was just a real treat.
Yeah, I can imagine. And especially, so you would work grad nights too? Are you there during that time? Because you worked there.
I only got to do one grad night. I wasn't officially scheduled it, but I just wanted to experience it. So I stuck around until the lead told me to go home. But we did a couple of my friends were working at it too. So we it was just kind of chaos. Like there's the normal, you know, Jungle Cruise grad night spiel where you're doing a little bit of racier jokes. But we just from what I remember, a majority of the trips we took out, we just hooked up a boombox that played Janet Jackson, like the same Janet Jackson song over and over. And we would just flash the lights and keep yelling like party boat. And we just go around the jungle. And that was the trip. It was really fun for us. I don't know how fun it was for the kids, but I don't think they cared. As long as you weren't paying attention to them so they could make out in the boat, I think they were fine with what was occurring.
I was going to say, just turn the lights out.
That's basically all they want.
So do you have any, I know like you had mentioned you kind of had a lot of fun with jokes and stuff. Did you guys used to prank each other and stuff like that?
We had not like so much pranks because we would always just kind of come up with bits to do with each other, like on the dock. So it was like a big, like, we used to do this one where for the last boat of the night, we'd recreate the Pirates of the Caribbean cannon battle where we'd be set up all across the docks and in boats and be like making cannon sounds and shooting off lights and throwing stuff in the river. And so we do stuff like that. And I think the only thing that closest we got to like doing pranks was during the summer, we all decided because I was there the year that they didn't have guns. So. Uh-huh. We didn't have that, but we did have air horns that we got to bring into the boat in case we were got into trouble. But somebody discovered that if you hold the air horn upside down and push it up against somebody's like leg or butt and fire it off, it's very cold. And so I remember that was a thing for a couple of months, which was unfortunate.
That's funny.
That was why they brought back the guns.
Much safer.
Go ahead. I was gonna say, so you had a lot of fun, and I mean, I guess I'm just trying to see, what was some of the jokes that you told that you thought on your own
remember? would be a good one. Let me have to think about that. There were so many other better joke writers than me at the attraction at that time. I was just more of like, I don't know. I would just do odd tours, I guess. But I liked some of the jokes that you can't do now that we would do back then were, God, one of my favorite ones was the you'd be pulling into the dock and you'd go like, I'd like to take a moment to thank the California Prison Work Release Program for letting me spend time with you and your family today. Or like the good one, it probably still is around because it's fairly tame, is the old if you enjoyed this, I'm Trevor, and this, you've been riding the world famous Jungle Cruise. And if you didn't enjoy this, my name is Steve, and you've been riding Big Thunder Mountain. Was always one of my favorite.
Yeah, I like
Oh
that.
wait, there was one that was abstract that nobody really laughed at, but I enjoyed. Where you'd pull up to the dock, you'd stop the boat, and you'd tell them, before you all leave, there's two. You're jogging some memories loose.
Okay, no, that's fine.
But before you all leave this evening, I'd like to leave you with the same words that Steven Spielberg once told me. He said, "Security, there's a man in my office. I don't know how he got here." And then there'd be silence, and everybody would kind of casually leave the boat, which I enjoyed. We came up with one though, where if you had a really good boat. I think Rit Meesey, a great skipper, came up with this bit, and it worked great. And I happened to do it one night that coincided with several different managers happening to be on the dock, so I looked amazing. What you'd do is you'd stop at Trader Sam's and you'd tell the boat, "Hey, look, you all have been great. We're gonna do a little something here. We're gonna pull up to the dock. And whatever I say after I'm done saying it, I want you all to stand up and applaud like you've heard the greatest thing in your life." And so you'd come around the corner, you'd come up to the dock, and you go, just something crazy. Like, and that's why I think despite our best efforts, fascism is still on the rise. And everybody would go insane. And it happened one night where it's just like management over and over on the dock. They're like, "What's going on in this boat?" Like, what is
Wow,
he talking about? They seem into it, but
he's amazing. That's funny.
I tried something like that when I if I had a good guy working for me, on my crew when I was a foreman, I had somebody that worked well for me and I would see them trying to, this would be backstage, they'd be trying to pick up on, they'd be talking with a girl. I'd walk up and try to help them out, Like one time I went up to them and I'm like, "Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say it was really great the way you helped out that old lady earlier." And one of the guys, he's like, "What?" And the girl started laughing. She said, "He's trying to help you out." So yeah, I love that kind of theater where it's like, okay, everybody cheer,
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we would do like very like abstract themed tours. Like if you found like hangers in the back, you'd like wire hangers, you'd unravel them. And we did this once or twice where you'd wrap it around your wrist and we'd have people like we call it the Muppet tour where somebody was the Muppet and then we'd have other skippers Muppeteering them, and then another skipper actually doing the tour out of sight, like sitting down on the mic. Really weird stuff. Maybe didn't play so well, but we really enjoyed
Wow.
it.
Could not imagine that
No,
nowadays.
everybody would be fired before the boat left the dock.
Right. Wow.
Oh, gosh.
So you said you had, well, so you didn't have the guns then, but you had the air horn to signal like there was a problem on the boat. I can't remember all the ones that, we've talked to other skippers, but did you ever have to to use it for that reason?
Luckily, no, I never had
Yeah.
any real bad issue. We had other people at the time that like they would like derail or double derail and then just slam into the land and whatnot.
Oh.
But I was lucky enough. The only bad thing that happened, and it ended nicely, luckily, was there was one time where I was coming into the dock fast, and right when I went to throttle back to brake, the boat died. but I still had all that momentum. So I just had to yell at everybody to like grab onto the boat on the dock, and they stopped it luckily in time before we slammed into the other boat at No Man's Land.
Right.
And then we also had a guy, this is one of my favorite things mm-hmm. that happened, where we've told this on the Jungle, the other podcast, but we had a guy on the upper story in the queue during the summer. I guess he had dropped his sunglasses on the awning below, and he was reaching over to get them, but he reached over too far, fell, bounced off the awning, and then cartwheeled through the sky into the river right in front of my boat.
Oh, wow.
Incredible. It could have gone horribly wrong if any of the boats had been positioned differently or he'd gone a little bit farther. But he splashed down into the river, and he was in shock. So he just kind of got up and tried to like walk off as though nothing had happened. So we had to stop him. Like, no, he just fell two stories. You have to stay here for a minute. I'm sorry.
Wow.
He got free clothes out of it. So that's a win for him, I'm sure.
A rough way to do it.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. That's amazing. So did you have to work remember how you got really busy at Christmas? Did you have to work the holidays?
Yeah. We would work like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Right. I don't miss that. That's the roughest part. Luckily, everybody from what I remember from working like those holidays that when I was there mm-hmm. is that at least at the time, I don't know how it is now. Everybody that's coming into the park on those days were extra nice and like extra appreciative of like you working on the holiday to make like their time there special. So that was always really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Until it got later in the evening.
That's right. Until 3 to 5 PM. To be about
3 or 5 PM.
Right.
There was, I mean, every year I'll see people that I know, they're like, they're on their way to the park at, you know, on Christmas Day or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they are posting on social media about how terrible it is that, you know, or like Thanksgiving, for example, you know, they're on their way to the park for Thanksgiving and they're posting on their, you know, their social media, how terrible it is that these stores are open on Thanksgiving, you know,
yeah,
because the employees have to work, you know, and it's like, aren't you on the way to the resort?
Right. There's people there. We're people too.
There's people working there. I mean, I didn't mind, I guess, you know, I would try to work like early shifts or late shifts so that, you know, if I worked a late shift, I could spend the day with family or, you know, or if I worked an early shift, I could spend with family afterwards. I mean, I tried to avoid mid shifts.
Yeah, and, you know, there you go. Yeah, and honestly, depending on your family, working on Thanksgiving is a great out to have.
That is true. That for some people, it's like, yes, please schedule me.
Right. I will work all day and all night. It's fine.
I'll give me as much overtime as you want.
That's
right. Yeah.
So true. Yeah, I just remember seeing, well, we were in custodial a lot of times. We're out like amongst all the people, so it would just be chaotic. And some of the, like, there was a New Year's Eve. I had to clean restrooms that one, and it was Adventureland Tiki Room,
mm-hmm.
were the two restrooms I had to clean. And to get, so we have to, every hour we clean them, and you had to get to one, you know, one afternoon, they had to go back and forth. Well, just to get across that pathway, it took me like 20 minutes to get from that restroom to the Tiki Room restroom.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they're less than like 100 feet apart. I mean, they're,
yeah,
you know, it's the Tiki Room entrance and the restrooms at, you know, by the bazaar right there.
Yeah. I mean, it was, people were pissed off and they're, you know, I want to talk to a manager. I'm like, ooh, covering my name tag and everything.
in terms of restrooms, if you're having to clean restrooms, what's the cushiest restroom gig in the park?
Backstage restrooms.
Backstage restrooms, okay.
Tom Sawyer Island's not bad.
Tom Sawyer Island, yeah, but that, see, it's kind of strange because Tom Sawyer Island, like the Indiana Jones shift, the restrooms are just a small part of what you're doing. and you get minimal. I don't think you get full restroom pay. I think you get just like they give it to you for a couple hours or whatever. So it's hard to say. I mean, it's really, you know, I would say, well, you know, the Club 33 restrooms are pretty easy to do, except, you know, you're probably going to have the New Orleans restroom on that on your split. So,
that's
which can be, you know, pretty tough.
I would imagine that's the one everybody seems to gravitate to. I don't know that I have a favorite restroom in the park. It might be Adventureland. And then there's also that really nice one right by the entrance to Tomorrowland, like connected to the fried chicken spot.
We're by Plaza Inn.
That one's nice.
My favorite is the, well, we called it Innoventions because that was what was there.
Working
that restroom over by Utopia. I don't think they know, but it's a big restroom. It's always, it's always nice in there, like as far as the temperature.
Well, you just reminded me. I'm going to have to check that one out next time.
Now it'll be the busiest one in the park, right?
That's right. We should just steer everybody the wrong way. You're going to go to Main Street.
It'll be on the app. You'll have to make reservations for it.
That's right. Genie Plus. If you need a stall right now, $30.
Wow.
We just gave Iger a good idea.
I know.
Yeah, watch out. You don't want to let them know that. Oh my.
I think when the parks first opened that there was like you had to put change in.
There were apparently some restrooms that were pay restrooms.
Right? Really?
And Walt was pissed off when he found out about it and said, remove these.
Well, you have to, I mean, they cobbled together. If you read that book, 3 Years in Wonderland or whatever, I mean, it doesn't get into that particular, I don't think, but you know, at first he relied on all these outside companies to provide a bunch of, you know, security and custodial and all that stuff. But it wasn't very long before he's like, let's have our own operation instead of using a contractor, you know?
Especially in the early days, like when they're building that park, I was lucky enough to just maybe like a month ago join in on this live stream where they were going through all of these old unreleased reels of footage that they had taken during the construction of Disneyland. It's absolutely insane how fast they built that park and how much of that park was left to be built like months before it was to be opened. So it's amazing it occurred.
Yeah, that's always my joke when they're working on a road around here and in our town. I think, man, they've been working on this. They built Disneyland faster than they built.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's still standing.
Yeah.
Barely, though. Just barely.
That's right.
It's almost bankrupt at this point. I don't know.
They, from what I understand, the parks make no money.
just go to one of the negotiating times between the unions and.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, right.
The park makes no money. No?
We're broke.
I can imagine just in parking alone.
Oh my goodness! I wonder if anybody's ever figured out just ballpark how much Disneyland makes in one day, like off everything. It's got to be astronomical.
Oh yeah, millions and millions. Yeah,
I'm sure somebody knows that, but you know, it's a closely guarded secret.
Oh my goodness! What a and I wonder if they still get, because I remember back in the day to get Coke in the park, you'd have to smuggle it in a little bag. To get Coke in the park, they just gave it to Disney for free to beat out Pepsi. I wonder if that's still their deal or they're actually paying for Coca-Cola products now.
Yeah, I don't know. I had heard one thing, they pay for the cups, and then Pepsi gives them the syrup, or Coke gives them the syrup. But I don't know how true that is. Yeah.
Interesting.
Same with the popcorn. That's what I heard. But
oh, really? The popcorn's
yeah.
Poor Disney. They just, you know.
Popcorn is evil.
is that like the nemesis to custodial is popcorn?
Well,
it totally changes the character, you know. Like, for example, there's a popcorn wagon by the exit of Mickey's house. You know, if that thing's not open, it's that Toontown is so much easier. Once that opens, it's like, oh man, you know. So,
yeah, exactly.
Well, you did Tiki and you kind of did Big Thunder. Anything else?
Tiki, Big Thunder for a second here and there when I'd break it, and then mainly Jungle. Jungle is just fantastic. We'd work nights. If we worked days, you'd freeze in the boat and try to do as many tours as possible because it was hot and miserable and you didn't want to be interacting with angry guests. But it was, just an amazing time. And, you know, it's so long ago now that it's, I do remember specifics, but it's a lot of it's like just kind of sense memories, which is kind of great having a magic key and getting to go back and like all these things flood back. It's kind of like the magic of Disneyland is that unlike other things, you know, you move out of houses, you know, cities change and whatnot, but Disneyland's like one of these few odd places where you can go back and odds are be able to walk into an environment that is almost the same as from when you experienced it the first time, which is a real treat.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I think people that didn't have that experience growing up going to Disneyland, they don't understand it, I don't think, as much as we do. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely is why it's so difficult to change things in that park because the second you change the paint color, and I get it, you're like, no, that's where I grew up. That's where, you know, I met some of my best friends and I had all these crazy things happen. You can't tear this down.
Right.
You remove a bench and it's like, you know, but that's the bench I proposed on or.
Yeah,
you know, that's the bench my first child was conceived. Did I say that? You know,
it was grad night. Okay,
that was the bench that we broke up on. You know? Did you get roped into guest control at all?
Occasionally I would have to do guest control, which is just a pointless exercise. And I feel so bad for these kids now when I see like them doing it in the parade and like leading up to Fantasmic, because you're basically, I mean, and when I worked at the park, I was just a waif of a human being. I was like 135. I needed to eat. And so you had this little stick of a human being holding another stick that glowed and trying to like split the crowd like Moses. It just wasn't going to happen. So I was not good at it.
When we were there, they wouldn't have here I go again. When we were there, when we were there,
that's right, my day. You
know, they wouldn't have us do they wouldn't have custodial do guest control unless we were on limited work or something like that. Now, I mean, eventually I guess somebody figured out, hey, how come, you know, merchandise and attractions and I mean, how come they get guest control hours and we don't? So custodial started doing that, but
that is unfortunate. It's a rough gig telling people where they can and can't stand, waving a little flashlight around, telling like hundreds of thousands of people move to the right.
Yeah,
like,
stay to your right, keep moving, right. Stay to your right.
It's not gonna happen. I saw like horrific things. We we had people get kicked. I had a friend, Eric, saw another person tell somebody they couldn't stand on a planter for Fantasmic, and that person took their foot, put it on the other person's chest, and kicked them to the ground.
Whoa.
I'm like, just horrific stuff. And like, I'm just doing my job.
Yeah.
Wow.
But this was pre-smartphones, so.
We didn't tend to get stuff like that, but I think it might. I mean, we would, because, you know, there were times we had to tell people, you know, come down off of there or you can't smoke there or whatever. And we were holding this metal object that we could swing pretty well. So, and a wooden object that we could swing pretty well. So I think that might be why we didn't get that. We also had gum scrapers, you know, and self-defense mechanisms, you know?
You're all set, and you got your hit squads. Like, everybody knows. Just don't mess with custodial if they're asking you to do something.
You see this key? It turns on the trash compactor.
That's right. They'll never find you.
I'm friends with the cats, and they're hungry.
We always used to joke that if you leave your kid behind on the attraction, we'll take them over to the Small World and staple their feet to the ground.
Yes.
I like that one.
Oh, so, boy.
Over, you said you worked Tiki Room, and you said it was pretty easy, but you guys would have fun over there, too, I would assume.
Well, when I was there, at least, it was a one-person show. So you'd get real bored real quick. Yeah. So you'd go out there, you'd hit Jose with the stick, he'd call you a senorita, and then you'd go back into the back. And so I got really good at making like paper towel forts and stuff in the break room. And I would like find stuff. There's one time I found a whole costume, a whole Jungle Cruise costume just sitting in the back of Tiki. And so I stuffed it full of paper towels and made it look like I was taking a nap, like with my head down on the desk back there, and just left it there to scare the crap out of the next person that came in. But it was a fun, easy job. You know, you start the show, and then at the time, the back of Tiki Room was also connected to one of the kitchens that would be making candy and stuff for Main Street or somewhere else in the park. But it always smelled like, I just remember it always smelled like fudge back there, which was fantastic, especially because the river water does not smell like fudge.
No.
No. but how long did it take you to learn to do ventriloquism for those voices for the birds?
That came naturally.
Oh, okay. It's part of the audition process.
That's right. Can you hit this? Can you hit this fake bird? You have the job.
2001 was a slow. I mean, it seemed like a slower time. I mean, definitely slower than it is now.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. Yeah. Way different in terms of how people go into the park and experience the park now. Like, you have all these influencers now. Like, when we went the other day, you see. You know, a healthy mix of families and people that are going into the park and people that are clearly there to get their content for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Well, but in 2001, everybody was busy over at California Adventure. That's why.
Yeah. They were not. Right. We got told specifically to cut it out with the jokes making fun of California Adventure on the Jungle Cruise.
Oh,
because it had just opened, and you know, most people nowadays, especially like younger people that only know California Adventure as the newer version of it, don't realize what a pile of hot garbage that park was when it opened.
Yeah.
And there are people I see nowadays, like online, people are like, oh, I miss the old park. No, you don't. That's Stockholm syndrome. You are making up false memories. That place was terrible.
If you miss it, go stand in a parking lot. And right. That was, you know.
Yeah, go stare at a hubcap.
The park. That's where half the park is now. So, you know.
I forget who it was, but one of the old Disney legends said they liked it better as a parking lot, and I love that quote.
I think there was a John Hench quote.
Oh, yeah. My goodness, what a quote!
What a quote. John Hench. I think the one time I saw him in the park where he wasn't some event or something, he was actually working. He was right over there by Jungle Cruise, of all places.
Really?
And he had these color swatches, and I think he was using them for like the stores there. Because, of course, John was like really, I mean, color was one of his things. And I couldn't believe it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's John Hench, you know.
Yeah.
It's like the closest thing to meeting Walt Disney, you know.
Right. Yeah. That's fantastic.
I mean, Walt Disney used to get confused for John, you know, John Hench would get confused for Walt Disney, or Walt Disney would tell people, no, I'm not Walt Disney. That guy over there is Walt Disney, you know. And John Hench would get swamped, you know, and...
That's great.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that speaking of color, that's what was striking when we were watching, when I was watching that live stream, is seeing how by today's standards, because they have really saturated the color schemes in that park, especially on Main Street for social media, how
Yeah.
muted the park seems compared to now. Like,
Yeah, it's got to be, now they got to do things with that in mind. Like, how is this going to look on digital photography?
Yeah, Sleeping Beauty's castle almost looked like it wasn't painted. It was so just desaturated and like obviously they wanted to make it seem more like a real, castle probably back then as compared to now.
But I mean, John Hench would be like, he picked the colors for Cinderella Castle in Florida, and he took into account the fact that it's at a different latitude.
Oh
Wow.
my goodness.
That's how precise and detailed he was on, how he would handle the colors and stuff. I mean, just
Genius.
amazing. And you kind of wonder if they still do that or not.
Right? Something inside me says no, but I do miss it's no knock on the park. Things change, and yeah, it absolutely is a smart choice to make sure these things pop for social media and digital photography, like you're saying. I do somehow miss how it was back in the day, where the color scheme on Main Street, especially, it made it feel more like it was an actual small town rather than just kind of like hyper, like saturated version we have nowadays.
Yeah,
But that's
that's
just me.
true.
Old man yells at clouds.
No, I tell you, get off my lawn.
That's right.
I don't like the looks of those teenagers. Well, so what years were you there? Are you
I was there 2001 to 2, and as 2 crept along, a couple of things happened. One, I realized just from looking around and getting the lay of the land, it seemed that you were either at the park for 1 year or you were there for a long time. And
So you decided you had to get out.
I had to get out. I did not want to be there a long time. I wanted to have a good time. And so, and then on top of that, management started really cracking down on the jungle, and we didn't take kindly to that. And so it was this kind of ongoing battle that resulted in either people getting fired or just kind of forced into a position where you should probably just leave, which was kind of what occurred with me, which was sad. But I did everything I wanted to do at Jungle. I had a great run, and it still is, something that's a part of my life casually today.
Well, you get the thing is, once you start getting seniority, it becomes like, ooh, I want to keep my seniority, and so yeah, it that can be the thing, and I want more hours. So like maybe you were kind of working there casually, and then you might have been looking for other work, but then it's like, oh, I can get more hours here, and so that's how some people end up staying, because that's just becomes what they know, what they do, what they have in seniority and things like that. And they need, I mean, I think turnovers probably gotten too high over the years.
Oh, yeah.
They need some institutional memories,
Yeah, I wonder how much of that there is now. 'Cause, like, yeah, people are just moving through there so fast, that I wonder, like, how much has been lost over the years just from,
I mean, I'm
people
sure
leaving.
the pandemic situation resulted in probably the greatest percentage of turnover they've had,
Oh, yeah. That was wild. Like you, I mean, it's, and in some ways it feels like that was just yesterday, but it's also like many years ago now. But just to real, like I just remember the other day that the parks were closed for a long time.
Yeah, you just You would never think the parks would ever. I remember when 9/11 happened, and that day they closed the park and or it never opened. But I thought, wow, Disneyland's closed. Like it was just a crazy thing. Yeah,
that was wild. I was working there at the time. I was supposed to go in on my shift that day. And I remember waking up and seeing that news, and then they got the call like, "Look, Disney's shut down." Like, and then I remember. A couple days after when the park was back open, we were working Jungle, and one of the trains backfired, and there was this big boom that like went through the jungle, and everybody was just terrified.
Oh, we're
like, oh no, what happened?
Yeah.
Ooh. Don't want that, you know.
No, everybody was on edge.
I mean, because for a while that year, churro dust, there was an anthrax scare, right? So every time some churro vendor spilled some churro dust while they're moving the cart and didn't, you know, immediately stop over it and say, it's churro dust, it's churro dust. You know, if they just left it there, it became, uh-oh, is that anthrax?
You know? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Calling the dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
Tasty, tasty anthrax. That's a good name for an Punk underground band. Drug is churro dust. I think you've stumbled upon something here.
Sure.
I was going to say or a punk band, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, churro dust is a good one, yeah.
I'll take credit for it now.
So years later, you have the podcast now, The Jungle,
yeah,
with David.
Good old Dave, Dr. Skipper Marley, yeah.
Yep, we've had David on many times, and...
I'm sorry.
I'm reading his book, right? Well, he's got a couple books. I'm reading the one on the more of the history part of Jungle Cruise. Yeah.
He's fantastic, and he's so thorough with his research. It's wild to me. But I don't have that brain or that resolve. So I'm glad somebody does.
How long have you guys been doing that now?
The podcast, we're coming up on 2 years this September. Wow. And I don't know how, but we're there, and it's just been a treat, and the response has been quite nice. But it's weird that just us hanging out in my living room, chatting has kind of turned into a thing that people actually care to listen to, and now we're getting like guests on and stuff. So it's been a real. It's been really, really fun, and I always look forward to doing it.
It's a bowling podcast, right?
Yeah, just strictly bowling. We don't even talk about bowling balls. It's just strictly localized to a couple of bowling alleys in Southern California that we religiously talk about.
You know, it's there's a couple of Jungle skippers hosting a podcast. What's it about? Knitting, you know?
Well, what's funny is like, it's just kind of the framing device. And I would say a good chunk of every episode ends up being about Disney or like reminiscing or whatnot. But we both have ADHD. And so we always tell people, if you don't like a topic that we're talking about, stick around for 45 seconds. It will change.
I love using a framing device to slip in my subversive propaganda.
There you go. That's right.
Yeah, I listened to your show, and then there was a guest. So I think you had Shauna on, and
Pleated Peacock. Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah, and so I loved that interview. So I asked David, you know, if he could set me up with having her on our show. So we did.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, she is great, and she's so funny and so talented. If a shout out to if you're listening and haven't discovered her, the Pleated Peacock on Instagram. She does amazing stuff.
Oh yeah. So the podcast, The Jungle. Where can people find you if they want to follow you?
You can find us everywhere pods are cast on Apple and Spotify and all those fun things, and. And you can also give myself a follow on Instagram, the.trevor.kelly or Dr. Skipper. And we always kind of link to the episode. And if the episode has like some fun little nuggets, we'll come up with like little videos that like kind of show the actual real world locations of them in the park and stuff. So it's just been it's been real fun.
Yeah, I enjoy listening to it. So I suggest everyone go over and listen to it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Trevor.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This has been a real treat. And again, always happy to be on here. And yeah, thank you. Thank you again.
Great. We'll have to do it again.
Absolutely. And again, and I know I mentioned this last time, but I'm going to say it again.
Yeah.
Ken has one of the best podcasting voices. It still feels to me like I'm listening to Coast AM every time you talk.
Oh, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell.
That's right. It's a beautiful thing.
Today, we are talking about the space aliens that hide in blocks of cheese.
Now we're talking. All right, hit record. Let's do this.
I haven't stopped yet.
Yeah, so thank you very much for that. I just wanted to say, if anybody wants to hire me, I might be available. So
there we go. We'll have to post this episode. You might get some work.
Go to, you know, pelman.info. Yes.
well, thank you, gents.
Well, Ken, another great episode.
If I do say so myself, of course, it's all because of the guests. Thank you to Trevor for coming back and sharing those stories. But seriously, I mean, I never tire of this. I never tire of getting somebody else's perspective on their time at Disneyland. It's not the only thing we do. I mean, we sometimes do history of attractions or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I love talking with people about their time there.
Yeah, it's always fun, especially someone that worked there at the same time we did, to kind of get their perspectives of the park during that same time period. It's very interesting to me. It's also interesting when we talk to one guest that was there, say, in 1965, that worked on Small World, and then we have someone that played in a band during that same time, you know, somewhere else in the park. It's just kind of neat to see how things cross, and it's just a lot of fun. Yeah, I we've been doing this 13 years, and I still get excited every time we record.
13 years? Well, that's amazing.
I know. Well, we're on our 13th. Yeah, we're on our 13th. Wow. But I still get excited about it. And maybe not every time. You know, sometimes I'm not feeling well. But
yeah. It's like, oh, I got to talk with Ken again. Jeez. Yeah.
But I still get excited about it. I think it's just the topic, of course, is something that interests both of us. And I enjoy talking about it, and no one else wants to hear me talk about it, so I'm glad you guys do.
But there might be people, more people, who want to hear about it, so do share the news that we are here weekly. Let people know that all they have to do is search for the Sweep Spot Podcast. They can have their smart speaker play it. Yes, we've got some ads. Please listen to the ads. If you actually buy a good or service in one of those ads, tell them that you heard about us, heard about them on the Sweep Spot podcast.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, we didn't really, we've talked about the ads, I think, one time, and this is the end, and maybe you guys are not even listening anymore. But for those that are still
you should be listening to the end of the episodes. You're missing plenty if you're not.
Well, if you're still listening, congratulations. But I did want to say something real quick. I wasn't going to say it, but the ads are there not because we need the money. You know, it's like they're there because I think
need the money. Become a Patreon.
The Patreons.
But it does. I mean, it costs money to store the, you know, all these free episodes online. We put a lot of time into this, so you know it's.
It's kind of both. The Patreons help.
And software to pay for, you know, so that.
Yeah, the Patreons help support the show, and I want it to be that way. The other ad money is to do that, but it's mostly because I just felt like, you know, things are getting more expensive, and I want to make sure that we never have to end the show because we can't afford it, you know. So it's like, right, kind
you
of
want
a
to
back
keep the show going,
so. Right, it's kind of a backup, you know. I'd like to do that, and I also feel like, you know, we provide a good service and a good entertainment, and we put a lot of time into it, and that is worth something. So thank you so much for listening. Really do appreciate it, and hope the ads aren't too annoying, but you know, I'm sure most of you watch YouTube and there's plenty of ads on those, so. All right,
do tell people we're here. Go to our website, buy our merchandise, I mean we do thank you for listening all the way through. Do write reviews, on especially like places like Apple Podcasts.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And if you have something to say to us, go ahead and write thesweepspot@gmail.com.
Ken, if you have something to say to us, say it to
right.
our face.
You want to make something of it?
If you want to say something to us, we'll be at D23.
No, that's not what I mean. If there's something you want to say to us, like, you know, I really like the podcast, or I wish you guys would talk about, you know, the wonderful Wizard of Bras on Main Street, or something like that, you know, suggestions, because we're all out of ideas. No, I'm just kidding. but do write to us at thesweepspot@gmail.com.
There's probably no one listening by now, but
who are these guys?
You know. I did have one more announcement. No, but if you are a former cast member and you're listening, contact me, because I'd love to. We'd love to hear your story and have you on the show. If you have something good to share, of course. But yeah, was it thesweepspot@gmail.com? Thesweepspot@gmail.com. All right. We're done. But thank you so much for listening. We'll talk with you next time.